Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships. Hello and welcome to episode 56 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today we are talking about the 7-year itch, or more generally, what to do when you get bored of each other or lose sight of how good things used to be.
That's bleak.
Well,
when you get bored of each other.
That is what it is. When you start to get wandering eyes and maybe frustrated with each other over little things and you don't feel the same spark and connection as you used to. And I think, I don't know, I suppose it's just called the 7-year itch because 7 years is typically when people
start
to wander. But I don't know, I mean, some people start to feel that way immediately and some people get it after 20 years, but
God, I hope not. Immediately, that's sad.
But, you know, so don't feel like, well, we're not 7 years into it yet, or we're past 7 years into it now, and that's okay.
Yeah, and the thing I think that is important to remember about this 7-year itch is, yeah, it's a phrase, and maybe statistically, I'm not sure where they came up with seven, but maybe it's just a number that statistically people tend to feel a bit antsy in their relationship. But I think it's important to realize that it can happen at any time, and it can happen more than once in your relationship. And it can be anything from, you know, a wandering eye to just feeling completely out of sync with each other. And I think that's probably where we can relate more, is the periods of time we've just kept, felt completely out of sync with one another as people.
Yeah, I think, you know, it will, like, relationships ebb and flow. There'll be times when you're just off kilter and you piss each other off and everything's taken the wrong way and you view each other as stupid and selfish and inconsiderate, and then there are times when you're really in sync and everything is great and it's like the honeymoon phase all over again. And so, and I think it's recognizing that it kind of comes with the territory of a long-term relationship. Yes, you can work on it, and that's obviously been the focus of a few of our episodes and the episodes we've done with the relationship therapists. But equally, I think if you just recognize that it is part of the territory, it's going to make you more robust, because especially the first time it happens, if it's your first long-term relationship and then you bump into this problem, you're going to start thinking like, oh my God, you know, this is the end of it, and, you know, call it a day.
Yeah.
But you just kind of need to push through it. Obviously work on it. It doesn't necessarily happen all by itself. But you can push through it and, you know, things will become really good again.
Yeah, and I think, again, it can represent itself in many ways. So maybe you're fighting a lot more. Maybe you're just disagreeing. Maybe you don't talk as much as you used to. And I think it's really important. We all kind of sometimes struggle. Doesn't matter if you're a man, doesn't matter if you're a woman, doesn't matter which part in the relationship you play. It's very easy to look back and think, God, he used to be like this, or she used to do this, and, you know, those things don't happen anymore. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, relationships change, you know, I mean, after a while, you're not sneaking off around the corner to have sex every minute you can, you're not sending each other flowers or romantic text messages as much as you used to. You know, we've talked about that kind of stuff a lot through many, many episodes. Things do simmer down a little bit, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, which is kind of a separate topic. But the other thing is that it's really hard to hold a person you've been with for a long time to who they were, what they did at their very beginning, because people do grow and people change. And we talk about that. We'll have to look up the number of the episode, but our episode growing apart in a relationship.
Yeah.
But, you know, so say they did do something for you every week, it was a treat or something, and they stopped doing it. Well, are they doing something else for you instead? Have they grown out of that? Did they have finances available to them at the time that maybe now you've got kids and you can't afford to be sending each other flowers or taking each other out on a regular date night? I mean, there's all sorts of factors. As your life grows, there's so many more enriching things that come into your life that those things that happened in the early days can easily stop happening, you know, because of different obligations and different patterns to your relationship.
Well, and also, it's human nature to get used to things. Like, going to maybe a little bit abstract, you know, there's been research on happiness that's found, you know, you're a certain level of happiness, you buy something new, you're happier temporarily, and then the level of happiness that you have after that is the same as how happy you were before. And, you know, and then so then you feel the need to buy something again, and then that makes you a bit happier, and then you drop back down to previous level. Like, human nature is just, okay, I'm used to that now. It doesn't hold the same sparkle and captivate me as much as it did a year ago, 3 months ago, you know, whatever it might be. And you start to take things for granted, and it's like, I suppose it's partly what makes us so resilient. You know, you grow up living at home, for a lot of people that's both parents and your family, and then that's all you know, and then one day you move out and it's new and exciting, and then suddenly you kind of forget, you know, you stop missing life at home, and you just, you've got your new normal. So you put that into the context of a relationship, and it's like, oh yeah, this person's here now.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're long distance, then obviously a bit different, but if you live together, yep, they're here now, I'm used to this person being here. The novelty is when they're not around, or you have to spend the night apart for whatever reason. That's the difference. So you start to take it for granted, and it's just, when you start taking things for granted, you maybe can start feeling a little bit entitled, like, hey, where's my dinner tonight? You know, it's normally here at 7 and it's now 7:05 and I've not had my dinner yet, you know. So I think that's a really important aspect of this conversation, though, is the, I'm used to this, I'm taking it for granted, now what is there to give me that next spike in happiness? But you can't really view a relationship like that. It needs more work and nurturing.
Yeah, and I think it can be really frustrating because, you know, each person in a relationship hopefully is pulling their weight, but that's usually in different ways. So for us, you know, that looks like Rich kind of handling the finances, Rich kind of driving a lot of the work behind the podcast and the website, and then obviously me helping do the work for it, but you know, you kind of drive it in terms of what needs doing next and what we want to try, and then I'm there to do the labor with you. And then that means that I take care of most of the stuff in the house. You know, I'm the shopping, I'm the cleaning, I'm the cooking, I'm the laundry. But anything I ask you to do around the house, you will do. So you can start to feel a bit like, why am I bogged down with this? You know, why are you not helping? Why are you not more innovative in something and thinking of better ways to run the household? Or from you, you know, why aren't you looking for better deals? You know, and these are conversations that we have. But you can easily get stuck in your roles, because as people, you are good at different things. And whether or not that follows the traditional layout of, you know, male, female, gender stereotypes, whatever. But you're going to be stuck in different areas. And I think you need to not be afraid to talk about what isn't working for you. And I think maybe traditionally that 7-year period, I mean, that's a better part of a decade. And that's a good time for you to realize the things that you're starting to feel a bit weary about. And also where you're not happy, maybe in a certain area, and what needs changing. You know, that's a good time for the new to wear off and to be like, actually, this part of our relationship isn't working well for me, whether that's how the duties have been split down, or how often you're having sex, or actually, you know, we only go out for a date once every 2 months, and that's not enough for me. So I think you just, it's kind of hard to talk about these things, but you need to.
Well, I think that's the important bit too, is that a lot of people see, yeah, marriage maybe, but then, you know, not everyone's the marrying type. I think when people see probably living together, that's almost like, okay, that's the end goal now. And then the effort starts to slip. You know, I'll let myself go, or we won't date, or I won't spend as much money on you on these things. Or whereas when you're pursuing someone, or you're in the early stages of dating, or, you know, you're not living together and stuff, they're much more effort. You know, yeah. You both wear nice clothes. You'd want to look nice to each other. You wear nice perfume or cologne. You know, you'll go out for dinner. You'll think of, like, all right, well, we did that last time, what can we do this time? You'll take trips together. And then it's like marriage in particular is too often seen as the, oh, well, I've got you now. And it's almost like you can see the real me. And, you know, marriage is really the beginning. I think it's not the end. It's, we had to learn this sort of the hard way. But, you know, you need to put, like, dates back in there and think of new things to do with your time and spend that time together, and something to show each other that you know, you're just as excited by each other as you were originally. Anything?
Yeah, I do. And I think something that's proven really helpful for us when we kind of get in these sort of whacked out phases where we're either just really bickery or maybe we just have a lot going on for ourselves, you know? I mean, we both have pretty demanding jobs. You know, Rich is in a band and stuff like that. So there are times when our projects just pull us apart, and we have to make more of an effort to spend time together. But something that always helps us is kind of going back to our roots in terms of the things that made us feel happy and the things that made us feel close. And when we go back to our early days together, like when I was over here spending a month in the UK the first time we met, and then when Rich came out to spend 6 months with me in America, the things that made us feel the happiest and like the place where we thrive as a couple is off exploring, having days out, road trips, and experiencing something new together. And whenever we start to feel a little bit like that, we always try and see what we can do to put in place to have a day out together. Whether that's just going up to London for the day and going to some of the places that, you know, we've always gone to for years, or, you know, just trying to not recreate an experience, as I think you can't really go back, but just putting yourself in a position where you're doing the things that you originally loved doing together. That holds enormous power and reminds you of, oh God, yeah, this is, not that we ever forget why we're together, but it can just make it a little bit more obvious, like, yeah, this is why it's so great. Well, I think
also it's really important, like a really, really good way out of the slumps is just to find a way to just laugh together. Like every now and then we'll just spend time just cracking up over something, and you can't force it, so it's kind of hard to say, but like we've had a few times, and when we discovered Pinterest, like how many years ago?
Oh God, yeah.
In the evening, just looking at
memes,
ridiculous memes. And you know, because it just puts you in a good mood and it makes you feel really positive about the person that's laughing that hard next to you too, you know. So if you're able to do that, and also like if you kind of feel like things are slipping or they're just pissing you off, I think there's a lot of merit in writing down a list of what you originally liked about that person. So it doesn't have to be what you like now, but just try and think back to when it was that you first started talking or first started falling for each other, and you can just think, oh, I remember at the time I liked
that and the other. Why do you think, what's the reasoning behind doing it from back then? Because what if they don't do those things anymore?
So I don't think it's necessarily what they do. I think because I think it will put you back in that mindset of feeling really fond and positive.
Do you mean what character traits that you like then?
Is that could be character traits, it could be mannerisms, it could be just the things they do, it could be their passion about things. It's going to be different for everyone. You know, if you felt for someone who's really, really passionate about saving the earth, you know, and that's a shared passion, and you feel like not a lot of people in your circle share that, then they're going to stand out for that reason. And maybe it was, oh, they really take good care of themselves, or I really like the way that she flicks her hair, or the way, you know, it could be, like I said, mannerisms, dress sense, like, it could be anything, shared love of anything. But the benefit of doing it, looking back on it, is that's when that person was really held in high regard by you. When you were pursuing them, and you were pursuing them for a reason, and you were pursuing them over doing other things. Whereas now you might look at them and think, because now you look at them and think, well, you're the person who left toothpaste in the sink. You know, you're the person that left your shoes in the hallway, or didn't do whatever. So you see, and everyone has those irritating aspects, and they're not what you should get bogged down. You're not like you're going to leave that person and find someone who doesn't do the equivalent of leaving toothpaste in the sink. Everyone's got that thing that's going to irritate you. So it's not the right thing to focus on. But if you can think, why did I want to be with you in the first place? I think that's a really powerful, positive way of just remembering, and like I said, getting back into that mindset, feeling more positive. And then it's like, okay, do you know what? Let's go out for a date tonight. I'm feeling, you know, remembering why we're in this place, and just try and rekindle him.
I want to go back to what you said a few minutes ago about laughing together. And you said, like, yeah, you can't force that, unfortunately, but something you do need to do to make that possible is to set aside time together. You know, like,
Yeah, you can't force it, but there are times when it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen if you're both sitting there scrolling your own Facebook
feed. Well, it's not going to happen if you're not dedicating time to be interacting together too. Like, if one of the problems is that you're just not able to spend as much time together as you used to because of jobs, kids, hobbies, parents, you know, family, whatever it is, you need to create that opportunity to feel those things again. And that is getting some one-on-one time together. Like, we've been super busy lately and we haven't really had a weekend to just completely be together. And I don't know, feels like months. It's probably not that long. And we just had like the whole day together yesterday. And we had one of those moments last night where we could not stop laughing. And that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't set up the evening that we did together. You know, we spent the day out doing, finishing some Christmas shopping, saw some family for a birthday, came home, watched, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We need to do a movie review.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was great.
We watched that and, you know, it was quite a funny movie. So we were in a kind of a laughing mood anyway. And then Rich just started making one of the dogs dance. And the look on his face was the funniest thing. Not Rich's face, the dog's face. It was just the funniest thing we've ever seen. And we just were like in stitches. And the sounds that I was making were not human through my laughter. And we just completely lost it. Like,
but I mean, on this point, if you're at a stage where there's resentment and you're maybe not liking each other, it's really easy to, when positive feelings do try and come up, you force them down. Like, I don't want to show them.
Do you do that?
Happiness or, yeah, I probably have done.
That's mean.
Because you're just in such a negative space that you're like, I want to keep it that way.
That makes me sad.
But you know, we're just on this topic now. Like, if you're trying to improve things, you have to let that flourish. I mean, not for long periods of time. You know, just if we've had an argument or something, well, fuck you. But you know, you have to be willing to let the positive feelings emerge. Otherwise, well, you're just not giving it a chance.
Yeah, I didn't know that about you.
I think everyone does it.
More than I do.
Yeah,
I'm pretty ready to get up, like make up, and be happy again once something shitty's happened. I'm more concerned about making everything okay. I think you're okay to kind of just feel what you feel for a bit.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not talking about for one night. I'm talking if this is a prolonged thing of like there's resentment and you're just like, oh, I can't stand the sight of you right now. You know, the question you have to ask yourself is that how I want it to be? And if the answer is yes, well then it's time to call it a day probably. If the answer is no, I'm in that place, but I don't want to be in that place. I want to go back. Then maybe put some pride and things aside and just, okay, well, what can we do? And
yeah. Yeah, and it's a joint effort. And I think the most important thing to do first is to have a conversation and acknowledge that there's this happening in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're out of sync. Hey,
we're out of sync?
Yeah, we're out of sync. Oh, we're out of sync.
I think we've run out of sync.
We're out of sync?
Yeah.
No. We're out of sync with one another.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling this, I'm frustrated, I'm feeling lackluster about you, you don't do it for me, obviously you're not going to say it in that way, but all I'm saying is that you can't essentially decide yourself, like, oh yeah, we're in a rut, I need to fix this. It's not all on you. I mean, I'm sure some of the responsibility is on one of you, and maybe the fault for the way things are is on more on one of you than the other. Does that make sense? Yeah. But you both need to work together to fix it, and it needs to be acknowledged that this is happening. You can't kind of just mysteriously work in the background to try and fix it because, you know, the other person may not even be aware that there's a problem and they need that information from you to help fix it and to give you what you want and to realize, oh, hey, yeah, you know what? I'm not getting this that I need. And then they need to communicate to you that they're not getting that because a lot of times what happens in a relationship is that you don't even know what's wrong. You just feel out of sync. You feel unhappy. You feel unfulfilled. But maybe you can't put your finger on why or what. And part of that may be in your own behavior. Maybe you're acting towards your partner in a different way, which is then affecting the whole relationship. And you don't realize that it's, you know, I think sometimes we think that our actions towards our partner only affect our partner, but they actually affect yourself as well.
Mm.
You know, if I'm being a certain way towards you, that actually makes me feel worse and I may not even know it. You know, we had a week, like, well, I think it was last week. No, I think it was the week before last. You know, my family had gone home after Thanksgiving, and I've just, it makes me out of sorts for a while. And I think sometimes Rich can forget that once I've stopped crying about it, it doesn't mean I'm okay. You know, like maybe the first 2 days I'm pretty mopey and I'll talk about it, about, oh, you know, I don't know when I'm going to see them again, or it makes me blah, blah, blah. Eventually I stop talking about it, but that doesn't mean it's not still bothering me or down in there or something's twisted. And I was incredibly snappy with Rich for the better part of a week. And you knew something was bothering me, but you kind of didn't make the connection that, oh yeah, her family just left last week. Just because life's busy and you've had a crazy couple of weeks, bless you, with work stuff. So, you know, we had these conversations of me snapping and then him, what's going on with you? And me being like, I'm sorry, that was out of order, but you did this and it annoyed me. And then finally, me just going, do you know what? I'm not over my family leaving. I know it was a week ago, but it's still upsetting me. And that just completely reset everything. You understood. And then you were happy to be a bit more, I guess, understanding of my ill mood. Because there's a good reason for it. So all I'm saying is that you need to talk about it. It's the most important thing, is to express where you are and why you're out of sync. And if you don't know, talk about it together to try and figure it out. Because maybe your partner, I mean, if you've been together for a long time, I mean, we're coming up on 10 years this summer that we've been together. And sometimes I can see something in Rich before he knows it's bothering him. And particularly vice versa. He'll know something's up with me before I even really know what's going on. I'll know I feel funky and blue and out of it, but I don't know what's wrong with me or even how different I'm acting until he's like, hey, what's going on? So go to your partner, especially if you've been together. If this is like a 7-year kind of rut rather than a 7-year rut that appears at 2 years or 1 year or whatever, go and say, hey, like, I don't feel right. Like, if you notice something, you know, go to each other. You're there to help each other. You know each other. You love each other. You carry each other through life.
But then sometimes a little break. I don't mean like a relationship break.
We were on a break.
Yeah, we've had that, I can't remember what episode we spoke about it, but we were just really pissing each other off and you went and stayed with a friend.
Not because we were fighting. I did that. I just want to make that clear. It wasn't like I stormed out of the house and was like, fuck you, I'm staying with a friend. My friend and I wanted to have a girls' night. I wanted to drink so I didn't have to drive. And I thought, actually, you know what? Obviously safer to stay the night when I've been drinking. But also, I feel like Rich and I could do with a night apart and just reset the next day.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, sometimes you just need your own space.
Absolutely.
You had an evening with a girlfriend. I had an evening just doing whatever I wanted and just relaxing. No one to talk to, no one to listen to. I could just kind of... I think it was just the peace and space I needed. We went to sleep alone. And it gave you a chance to miss each other. I think missing each other is really important.
Oh, totally.
And then we didn't see each other the next morning. I was out the next morning.
Yeah, when you got home, or when I got home, you were out. So then we didn't see each other until about midday.
But then, so because we'd been at work the day before, so it wasn't just the evening we were apart. So we went to work in the morning as normal. So we saw each other about 7 in the morning. We didn't see each other again until about lunchtime.
So it was over 24 hours, yeah.
So, one, we weren't moping for all that time. It wasn't like you said, it didn't storm out. It was a normal working day. The difference was we came home in the evening and we had our own thing going on. And the next morning, we were kind of busy and still apart. So it was productive time apart rather than forced sad time apart. But it still gave us the opportunity to then miss each other, and you know, we talk to each other more than we talk to anyone else. So the other person not being there is kind of weird. It's like, oh, I was about to say something and you weren't there. And you know, so I think it's really nice and important every now and then, and we've done it once.
Yeah.
But if it's necessary.
But we still have evenings apart quite often.
Yeah, we have evenings apart, you know. But if it's necessary, then it's necessary. I mean, it shouldn't be necessary every week, but. You know, if it is something that you just feel like, oh, I want to be around you tonight, then don't be.
And that's a really hard thing to hear, but...
Well, maybe don't say it.
Like. No, but, like, it is a feeling that you're going to get. Like, I love you, but sometimes I don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
Like, I share my entire space with you, and my entire life, and I think probably for me more so, I can't just go and see my family and say, hey, I'm going to go do have a family day. I can't go see my best friend whenever I want. You know, I have friends here that are nice and great, but it's all kind of through you, if that makes sense, apart from my work friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of my really good friends here are through people that we know as a couple, or through friends of yours, or family of yours. And so there's very little here that is mine, apart from my job and stuff around that. And sometimes I just want, I have a craving of just me and my own. So when Rich has a night out with the guys, I love just having a night here, me chilling, relaxing, or just doing the things that I want to do. And that's okay, because, you know, you fell in love with an individual. You know, Rich fell in love with me and the world that I had and the person that I was in that world. And I fell in love with that same thing of him. And when you absorb two lives together in a marriage or living together, you know, whatever the arrangement is, some of that starts to blur and you become this couple. And that's kind of all you are to some people. And so I think it's really important that you have that time where you are just you. Whether that is a night at a girlfriend's, a night at home on your own, going and spending that time with your family, it puts you back into that person that you were when you fell in love. Because you were just you, without all the attachment of this other person in this world that you create.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that kind of goes back to what you said many times before, that you shouldn't lose your identity when you're in a relationship. And no. I think a lot of the time this sort of 7-year itch comes from the fact that a lot of people do give up their identity, and it's like the other person becomes them and the relationship becomes all you do. And kind of when you do that, you give very little reason for the other person to still find you attractive. You can find you physically attractive, but you're not making yourself very appealing, because suddenly there's nothing about you. If you've got no interests, you've got no hobbies, you do nothing your whole life. I mean, it's like, one, if your whole life is just focused on making someone else's life easy to the point where there's nothing for them to do, almost, then, one, you're kind of taking on a parental role rather than a partnering role, and two, like, it's not really... it's not going to yield very good results, is it? But then beyond that, like, you need to be interesting. If you want to keep someone captivated for decades, you need to be a person of interest.
Of substance.
Of substance. So you need to say, yep, I'm not going to be in the house all the time. So when you come home, I'm always here. You have interest. You have things that interest you.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds a bit... I don't know what the word is. Yucky. Because it does sound like, well, fuck's sake, I've been married to them. They should love me and accept me for who I am. And absolutely they should. But at the base of it, if you aren't interested in anything, you don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
And very quickly it can become that all you have to talk about is your marriage, your bills, your house, and your children if you have them. And... my God, the world cannot be that small.
But and that's not what you fell in love over.
No.
You know, you fell in love with, oh, you know, he's really smart, or she's really into this thing. Like, you have passions. And, you know, that... So, again, this goes back to writing that list of why you first wanted to be with each other. Was there was something about that person that you really liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's possible that the reason these feelings there is not... just the taking for granted and not just the familiarity, but maybe that other person's let them slide because sometimes that's just part of growth, but sometimes it's like, oh, I'm so focused on this relationship, I'm going to put all my stuff in a box. And you can't do that. You know, you are still a person. Because the thing, God forbid, if anything happened to one of you and you find yourself single or they find themselves single, you want to still have something about you, otherwise your entire world will have disappeared, quite literally.
Yeah.
You know, where you've got no one else in your life, you've got nothing else of interest to you, you've got nothing else to do. And you're not just dealing with the loss, which is always going to be hard enough on its own, but you're also trying to rebuild from scratch a whole life and identity and personality. You know, so you want to maintain your friends, you want to maintain a hobby, you want to, you know, whatever it might be. And I really think that's important, actually. I think there are too many... You hear about the the cliches, you know, the women who are overbearing and the men who maybe likewise. And you either end up choosing to or feeling forced to give up things. And yeah, there are going to be some things that maybe you haven't got the space for anymore. But it shouldn't be everything.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we over time have experienced that, getting bogged down with stuff. And I know, especially early on, when we, when I moved over here, we were engaged. It was before we got married, and I couldn't work. And Rich was freelancing, so he was working from his bedroom, and I was kind of downstairs. We had nothing to talk about. Like, it was the first time in our relationship where, like, we weren't both working. You know, I didn't have any friends here. I didn't have any money. Well, I had money, but I was living off of kind of savings, and we were trying not to use any of that money until I got a job. And obviously money was going towards the wedding and stuff. And, you know, we still loved each other, and we were really happy to be in the same place. But it was weird because it was the first time that we were just in the same house all day. And, like, you didn't really have much to talk about your work. It was the same kind of thing all the time. I was like, oh, I watched TV, I went for a walk, I worked out, I made wedding invitations. Like, that was all I was doing, and it was really blah. So I can see how if that goes on for a significant period of time where you just don't have anything new to talk about or anything outside of your four walls to talk about, like, for months and months and months and months on end, Jesus. Yeah, and then, like, then we moved to Kent, so you were near friends more a little bit.
Mm.
I was, you know, then able, we'd gotten married, and I was able to start working on my next visa. And I had a job, and we weren't together all day. So it was like, oh, great. Like, it's nice to see you. This funny thing happened at the pub today where I was working at the time. And, oh, yeah, this happened at home. The dogs, yeah. It was just more to talk
about. And, you know, I think a good way to approach it is to think, if I was single now, what am I making myself appealing to someone new? You know, and I mean, I'm not saying you have to be the world's best person, but
the world's most interesting man.
Yeah, the world's most interesting.
No, the most interesting man in the world.
But you know, if you wake up at noon and you sit on the couch and you've got Cheeto dust on your shirt all day, and then you go to bed at 3 a.m. and you haven't fucking moved,
what are you even doing with your life?
What are the odds that someone's got? So if you think, yeah, I'm not acting in a way that's going to get someone of real value into my life that would want to be with me, then you're not going to keep the person that you've got either. You know, so there needs to be some alignment between how you think you would behave if you were single trying to get in a new relationship and the way you behave to maintain a relationship. You have to maintain some level of interest and attractiveness, and because the person you're with is still human. They're not going to look at you and always see the person that you were 10 years ago. They're going to look at you as the person you are now. They may miss the person you were 10 years ago, but they're going to look at you, what have you done?
Mm.
What have I done? You know, so get your act together.
Yeah. But mostly just talk about it, I think, is the main. You have to be communicating about this. And again, I can't stress the importance of not just trying to, oh yeah, we're in a rut, I'm going to fix this. Because your partner's efforts aren't going to reflect yours straight away. You know, especially if you're in your own world and you're not in sync, why would it suddenly sync up just because you're trying?
Well, the thing,
it has to be a conscious effort.
The thing about the communication on this is really important, but a huge part of that is the listening. You know, if your partner comes to you and says, look, we need to talk about this, you need to hear it. You know, because if you react badly to that, you know, how dare you, and blah, 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 then you're doing more damage, because it's not easy for them probably to bring that conversation up in the first place, and they're only doing it because it's important and they value the relationship and they need it.
Mm.
So you need to be prepared to listen, and it may be that you hear some uncomfortable truths. It may be that you disagree with some things, and that's okay. It's not been a punching bag, but you know, communication doesn't just mean talking. I think too many people often think it means I will say what I need to say and get what I want, and actually it means you have to listen and hear things as well. Even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, for shiz.
Should wrap it up?
One bit of admin.
All right.
Our ultimate guide to long distance is still available. The pre-order is now done. It's just normal order now. Is it £9.99 or £10?
It's just £10.
£10. might make a great Christmas gift to your partner. I'm just saying. I mean, that might be a bit underwhelming, so make sure you get them something else too.
How's it underwhelming? They're saying, I value our relationship and I want to make it incredible.
I mean, if I got a PDF for Christmas, I'd be like, right, what else is there?
Print it out. Don't get it on its own.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Get it alongside the Tiffany bracelet.
Yeah.
And but the
Paco Rabanne.
If you want it, go to my website, longdistancetomarriage.com. Click on the resources button or menu link. There's two, and it will take you straight there.
Yes. So, and if you have got it and you've been reading through it, we'd love to hear your feedback. And yeah, we will talk to you guys next week.